was the verse about the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What words do we have to describe God? What languages do we have amongst us to help us understand who God is? And how does our conversation with those around us in this community help us understand God and know God in a different way? So I challenge us all this morning to be a part of those thoughts as we go through the worship service this morning. So shall we bow in prayer for a moment? Gracious God, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts help us to understand you, to talk about you, and to know you in new ways through our worship this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once, long, long ago, yet somehow not so very long,
when all the animals and rocks and winds and waters and trees and birds and fish and all the beings of the world could speak and understand one another, there began an argument.
It began softly at first,
quiet as the first breeze that whispered, "He is the wind who is never still."
Quiet as the stone that answered, "He is a great rock that never moves."
Gentle as the mountain that rumbled, "God is a snowy peak high above the clouds."
And the fish in the ocean answered, "God is a swimmer in the dark blue depths of the sea."
"No," said the star, "God is a twinkling and a shining far, far away."
"God," insisted the antelope, "is a runner, swift and free, who loves to leap and race with the wind."
"She is a great tree," murmured the willow, "a part of the world, always growing and always giving."
"You are wrong," argued the island. "God is separate and apart."
"God is like the shining sun, far above all things," added the blue sky.
"No, he is a river who flows through the very heart of things," thundered the waterfall.
"She is a hunter," roared the lion.
"God is gentle," chirped the robin.
And the argument
grew louder.
And louder.
And louder.
Until...
"Stop!"
A new voice spoke. It rumbled loudly like thunder, and it whispered softly like butterfly sneezes. The voice seemed to come from, it seemed to come from Old Turtle. Old Turtle hardly ever said anything, and certainly never argued about God. But now, Old Turtle began to speak.
"God is indeed deep,"
she said to the fish in the sea.
"And much higher than high,"
she told the mountains.
"He is swift and free as the wind, and still and solid as a great rock,"
she said to the breezes and stones.
"She is the life of the world,"
Turtle said to the willow.
"Always close by, yet beyond the farthest twinkling light,"
she told the ant and the star.
"God is gentle and powerful, above all things and within all things. God is all that we dream of, and all that we see, all that we come from, and all that we can find. God is."
Old Turtle had never said so much before. All the beings of the world were surprised and became very quiet. But Old Turtle had one more thing to say.
"There will soon be a new family of beings in the world, and they will be strange and wonderful. They will be reminders of all that God is. They will come in many colors and shapes, with different faces and different ways of speaking. Their thoughts will soar to the stars, but their feet will walk the earth. They will possess many powers. They will be strong, yet tender, to the earth, and a prayer from the earth back to God.
And the people came, but the people forgot. They forgot that they were a message of love and a prayer from the earth, and they began to argue about who knew God, about who did not, about where God was and was not, and whether God was or was not. And often the people misused their powers and hurt one another or killed one another. And they hurt the earth until finally the forests began to die, and the rivers and the oceans and the plants and the animals and the earth itself. Because the people could not remember who they were or where God was. Until one day there came a voice, like the growling of thunder, but as soft as butterfly sneezes.
Please stop.
The voice seemed to come from the mountain who rumbled. Sometimes I see God swimming in the dark blue depths of the sea.
And the ocean who sighed. He is often among the snow-capped peaks reflecting the sun.
From the stone who said, I sometimes feel her breath as she blows by.
And from the breeze who whispered, I feel his still presence as I dance among the rocks.
And the star declared, God is very close.
And the island added, his love touches everything.
And after a long, lonesome, and scary time, the people listened and began to hear. And to see God in one another, and in the beauty of all the earth. And Old Turtle smiled.
And so did God.
Just a couple of days ago, I was flying back from Alaska with my family, and my 10-year-old niece started to have ear discomfort from the sudden change of altitude. She had only experienced this discomfort a couple times before, so she was trying to find words to explain what was happening. I overheard her tell her mother, my sister, she said, I feel there like there is a wall on the inside of my ear. Isn't that a wonderful description? She was glad when that wall finally went away when we landed. Maybe without even knowing it, my 10-year-old niece was using metaphor, this communication device through which we describe or comprehend one thing in terms of another. People who study child development say that communicating in metaphor happens already in preschool. It's essentially child's play. Just think of a child playing in the way they effortlessly describe objects as other objects and then use them as such. The word metaphor, broken down, is meta means trans or cross, and for means to carry. So the word literally means to transfer meanings from one thing to another. We all grow up with different metaphors, different understandings of what or who God is like, or what or who Jesus is like. If I asked you all to fill in the blank, God is like, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? Think about how your answer has changed through the years. How would you have answered that question as a 5-year-old? God is like, as a 15-year-old, and so on. One of my early images or metaphors for God, for Jesus, at least, revolved around a song my parents used to sing to us kids when we were little. The song, I think it's called Here Comes Jesus. It's about here comes Jesus walking on the water. And there's a wonderful phrase for Jesus. Jesus being the master of the waves that roll. I've always been intrigued. one place in the Bible that is packed full of metaphors is the Book of Psalms. This collection of 150 prayers or songs found in the Old Testament or Hebrew Bible. It is a book full of poetic and imaginative and playful, but metaphorical language. The psalmists explore the many facets or faces of God. Mike mentioned some of them. According to the psalmist, God is like a deliverer, a warrior, a judge, a rock, a stronghold, a shield, a light, a shepherd, a fortress, a protector, a creator, a refuge, a king, a river, most high. And throughout other parts of the Bible and throughout time, people of faith have added many other names to this list. God is Father, God is Mother. There is a great hymn beside the one we just sang, number 123, that uses non-patriarchal language for God. Listen to this list. Root of life, cleanser, anointer of wounds, eternal vigor, saving one, holy wisdom, moving force, encompassing one with wings unfurled, encircling all above, below, and through. I try to, in my work as a pastor, to appreciate and use this variety when addressing or contemplating who God is. A God who is, of course, beyond all of our knowing and naming, and yet one who seeks to be known by us as we use the tools we have been given. And I'll add my own personal word of hope that in our life and faith together here at Rainbow, that we will grow in awareness of our reflexive names for God. Those default names, the way we have been conditioned to think about God. And as we grow in awareness of those default names, I hope that we will all be willing to expand on those names and images, mixing it up from time to time. I think this helps us from getting too flat or one-dimensional or too self-assured in our approach to the Holy One. And speaking personally, I will say that at times, many times in my life, as a woman, the patriarchal language of the Bible, which assumes the masculinity of God, the world's rulers, and even the reader, has and continues to feel at times like a brick wall, like a wall is in my ears. So again, here at Rainbow, I hope we will be willing to continue employing a whole variety of names for God. Also mentioned here that God as King is also troubling for a lot of people, sometimes myself included. The Psalms speak of and to a people living in a threatened monarchy. So there is so much royal language employed in the Psalms. All this talk of thrones and palaces, kingdoms tottering and rulers falling. All this power over or power as control language. Sovereign, almighty. We, in this day, live in what might at times feel like a threatened democracy. So this language of kings and kingdom doesn't always sit well with our modern day politics. My brother tells me of a time a young girl was sitting in the front row of their church in Wichita, about 10 feet from the pastor. And the pastor asked what he thought was a rhetorical question. He said, "Is God your king or not?" And the little girl, who didn't seem to be paying attention in the front row drawing, she said, "No." Everyone around her to hear. So, yeah, the according to the psalmist, may not be someone we like, especially when human rage and wrath is projected onto God, which is often the case with the psalms. And I'll talk more about this next week when we look at what are called imprecatory psalms, the psalms that invoke judgment, calamity, and curses upon one's enemy or perceived enemies of God. So having said all this, why study the Psalms over this summer here in Hope? Well, first, as Christians and as those who seek to follow and worship Jesus in the world today, we know that Jesus grew up singing the Psalms as a Jewish boy and then rabbi. I only learned this recently, that of all the Old Testament Hebrew Bible scriptures that Jesus quotes in the New Testament, he is found quoting the Psalms the most. Second is Deuteronomy, and any guesses about the third? Isaiah. Psalms, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah. So as we probe the many facets of who Jesus was, as we explore his Jewish religious identity and roots, as we learn about the stories and history that shaped Jesus, I think we are better able to discern what he might mean for us today. Second, I said this 2 weeks ago, that I liked referring to the Book of Psalms as a school of prayer. It is this wonderful, unfolding, evolving conversation and dialogue between people and the divine. And while we might not resonate or relate with the language and metaphors found in the Psalms, there is something to be gained by studying this evolving conversation. Perhaps you have heard the word chutzpah, this great Jewish word that means guts. I love the chutzpah of the Psalms. People insisting on having this dialogue with God. Now, sometimes this chutzpah leads to fury and rage projected onto God, which we will probe next week, and that is super problematic. But it's fascinating and worthwhile, I think, to learn from and with these conversations with God. The great Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann believes that what we as Christians need more than anything in this country right now is to cultivate religious imagination. Too many people of faith, he argues, have this flat, one-dimensional faith, this only logical view of faith. What we need are more imaginative and artistic expressions, and he believes lingering with the Psalms might be a place for us to start. So in closing, I would like to read a psalm that was with me all week as I wandered the mountains and rivers of Alaska. As I read this psalm, Psalm 46, I invite us to imagine Jesus singing this psalm with his community regularly in the synagogue, praying this psalm before he went to sleep as a young boy, and living this psalm as he preached on the hillside, seashores, and synagogues as a young preacher and rabbi. Listen for the metaphors, too. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May it be so. Well, for our prayer this morning, I have selected a poem, a prayer written by Walter Brueggemann. You can find it in your order of service if you'd like to follow along. Walter Brueggemann has put together many, many prayer books. This is from a book called On to Heaven, Rooted in Earth. And find his language quite provocative and would like to share that with all of you this morning as we join our hearts now in a spirit of prayer. God of heaven and Lord of earth, tamer of heaven, lover of earth, sovereign over the waters that surge, provider for birds, beasts, and fish, chooser of Israel and commander of all humanity. Your vistas remind us of how close and small we keep our horizons, how much we blink at your power and wince from your justice, how much we waver in the face of your commanding mercy. You only, God of heaven and Lord of earth, comes the rain upon our parade, and the floods upon our nations, and winds upon our personal configurations. Comes your shattering and your reconfiguring in ways we doubt or we fear. We discover yet again how sandy we are with the quaking of our foundations and our fantasized firmaments. We are filled with trembling and nightmares that disturb. And then you, rock solid, stable, reliable, sure, you rock against our sand. You rock of ages. You rock that is higher than us treading water. You rock of compassion. Be compassionate even for us, our loved ones, and all our needy neighbors. You rock of abidingness for our sick and for those long loved, lingering memories, dead and in our care, in your care. You rock of justice for the nations, fed up with our hate, exhausted by the greed of our several tribes. You rock of communion in our loneliness, rock of graciousness in our many modes of gracelessness. Come be present even here and there and there and there. Move us from our sandy certitudes to your grace-filled risk. Move us to become more rock-like in compassion and abidingness and justice. Move us to be more like you in our neighborliness and in our self-regard. Yes, move us that we may finally stand on the solid rock, no more sinking sand. God of heaven, Lord of earth, hear our resolve, heal our unresolve, that we may finish in sure trust and in glad obedience, that we may know what to do by our careful pondering of you. And let all God's people say.
Eternal Spirit, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, loving God, in whom is heaven,
may the hallowing of your name echo through the universe.
May the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world.
May the promise of peace and freedom sustain our hope.